All right. Welcome this afternoon to our special meeting of the Board of County Commissioners. We have three things on our regular agenda. I don't see any need to put anything on consent. Oh, the Zoom? Okay. Robert Moore, you're on Zoom. Can you hear us?
Yes, Commissioner, I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, very good. So it looks like everyone can hear us in the room and on Zoom. I don't see any reason why we have anything on consent. I think we can walk through these three items. On our regular agenda, we do have three items on there. The first one is to ratify the signatures on the order calling for the special meeting today, Thursday, March 18th. That's a ratification. I'm sure there's probably no questions to that. We're here in the meeting. So we make a motion.
I make a motion that we accept item number one on the regular agenda.
And I'll suspend all rules so that I can second, and I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. And number two is to accept the letter of resignation from Tanner Ainge, received March 17th, 2021, vacating the Utah County seats, Commission Seat A.
I make a motion that we accept item number two, former Commissioner Ainge's letter of resignation, received yesterday, March 17th, 2021.
And I'll second that motion. All in favor of accepting that letter and that resignation, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Number three is to approve and sign a letter giving notice to the Utah County Republican Party, liaison of a vacancy, the Utah County Commission Seat A, and inviting the party and liaison to submit the name of an individual to fill the vacancy pursuant to Utah Section Code 20A-1-508. And I think there is some comment on this one.
Thank you, Commissioners. Obviously, when the first of the week came, none of us understood that this was going to be an issue. And when we learned, I believe on Tuesday evening, unofficially, that Commissioner Ainge was resigning, and then officially on Wednesday that Commissioner Ainge was resigning, that has placed into motion a process to replace the commissioner, because of course we need to have three commissioners functioning in the Utah County Commission. I would like to detail for the commission what the commission already knows, but for the benefit of the public record and also for the benefit of those who are listening. The process under Utah law to replace a midterm vacancy in a county commission, well, in any county office with the exception of the county attorney, which has a different process, is that this body, within 10 days of the resignation, is required to send a notice to the party to which the commissioner belonged. In this instance, it would be the Republican Party. And upon receiving that notice, the Republican Party has 30 days with which to appoint one person according to the bylaws of that party to be presented to the county commission. And then after that, the county commission is by law to appoint that one person. Now, under normal circumstances, I would suggest that process, which has been in place in one form or another for a long time, for a lot of years, in one form or another, with subtle changes. It used to be that they required three names to be given to the county commission. But we are dealing in a time frame where the normal operations of the Republican Party in Utah County have been completely disrupted because of the pandemic. As you know, because you're both members of that party, as am I, there's a process in place whereby people have neighborhood caucuses in March to elect delegates, county delegates, to attend the county convention. And at the county convention, those county delegates elect a central committee, and the central committee then becomes a governing body for the Republican Party. As we all know, there were no those caucuses occur every 2 years on the even years of a general election, and the delegates serve for 2 years. As you know, in 2020, because of the pandemic, that caucus process was canceled, which put into fairly significant commotion the question of who's going to be county delegates and state delegates. And in many instances, county delegates were made county delegates by precinct chairs never having been elected in their caucus. In their caucus meetings, because they were carryovers from 2018 until 2020, and there were many vacancies from people who had moved or people who didn't want to serve as a delegate, and so those delegate positions got filled one way or another, but not through the caucus system. And so we have a situation where we have, I think, a threefold problem. Number one, you have a law that vests authority in a political party to not only determine who the nominee is going to be, but number two, the law allows that party to determine what the process is by which the new commissioner is selected. And so, in theory, there's nothing that would prevent the Republican Party, the Central Committee of the Republican Party, who again would be elected by people who may not have been, and likely many of whom likely were not elected at their caucus meetings, would have allowed this process as it currently stands would allow the Central Committee to say, well, we will direct that the chairman of the Republican Party or the vice chairman of the Republican Party or a certain some other officer become the candidate. And under state law, that person would become the next county commissioner, never having been elected either by the delegates at large or by the general population at large. Given the fact that we have a county delegate process which has not been followed by the caucus system in 3 years, given the fact that we are not dealing with a primary election in which a Republican was chosen among Republicans, but through a general election where Republicans, Democrats, unaffiliated voters, other parties voted for this commissioner or not, and given the fact that this law doesn't even allow a process to replace the county commissioner if the county commissioner isn't a member of a party, I believe that there is some reason to question whether this law as written, when coupled with the facts of the last 3 years of a pandemic, can give any certainty to the residents of Utah County that this vacant seat over here to your right will be filled and voted for by an electorate that follows a process in which the public can have confidence. And so my request to you would be to table this agenda item and sending notification to the Republican Party, and that you would authorize the county attorney's office to research the question of whether there are constitutional problems with this law as written and applied, and how it would be applied under the auspices of this pandemic, and meet next Wednesday in your regularly scheduled meeting, because that would in fact provide us the time to research the issue, to brief the county commission as to what the policy issues surrounding it are, And if our conclusion is that, yes, we ought to send this to the Republican Party, we're still well within the 10-day period as provided by law. In short, I don't know that there's any reason for us to rush a process on day one or day two of that 10-day period when I believe that there are significant considerations that we ought to be looking at. Those are my comments. Any questions?
Yeah, I have questions.
Somehow I thought that I was not going to sit down unscathed.
Yeah. You bring up some interesting questions, which I don't have a remedy for, and with it being new enough that it's hard for me to actually formulate all the way through the processes with it. Some of the problem I have is this is the law that we have in place right now, and what are you seeing as a possible outcome by looking at this? What could it be, or what's, because I'm not sure even what that looks like in the sense of we look at it and say that this is going to go to a general election with everyone in the whole county. Is that one of the remedies to it? Is it a primary where it's a closed primary because it was a Republican seat? I'm not sure what the remedies are that you're right. referring to.
Well, let me first say what I'm not suggesting.
Okay.
What I'm not suggesting is that we fail to follow the law. The law requires that you notify the party, in this case, the Republican Party, within 10 days of the vacancy being created. I'm not asking you that you disregard that. What I'm asking you is that you table this decision. A letter can be sent on the 10th day and still be in full compliance, because I believe that the general interests of the electorate, the 300,000 registered voters in this county, expect of us, of elected officials, to make sure that everything we do is in accordance with their will. And so where could this go? Well, and we could come back next week and I could stand at this podium and I could say, you know what, I'm satisfied that this process is legal and this is the way it ought to go. And we send the letter, or you send the letter, and the process is followed however it is. The second alternative would be to say, you know, I've got concerns about this law, and I would ask the county commission as a body to ask the county attorney's office to challenge the constitutionality of this law in the sense that it disenfranchises some voters over others and allows for a process not that is defined in state law but an electoral process that is defined by a party which hasn't held an organizing or hasn't had a caucus meeting in 3 years. But at this point, what I'm asking you to do is simply pause a little bit. This decision of Commissioner Ainge to resign is barely 48 hours old, at least the news of it. We have at least 8 more days in which we can comply with the law. And I think that prudence would suggest that we take our time and answer the questions that I have raised here. I could come back in a week and be completely satisfied that this process is fine and legal and away we go. I could come back in a week with my office having researched this issue and said, you know what, I believe that we ought to take this case to the district court and ask the court to invalidate this law and order a special election or order a primary election. Whatever this county commission decided was the best, because you know I'm wearing my hat as the Utah County Attorney here, and I view my role as essential to ensuring the able and effective operations of government. And I want to ensure that however this vacancy is filled, it is filled in a way that gives the appropriate voice to the appropriate people.
And I don't mind giving a little bit of time. I don't know if, and I want to be deliberate, you know, in looking at this. I always think that's kind of a wise thing to do, especially if you have time for deliberation on it. A couple of concerns then I'll voice, and I'll voice them publicly. One, I think that I want to make sure that the process is clean and fair. I think that's always...
And that's why I stand today.
And I appreciate that. Second, and I'm going to voice this too, is that there's a caucus convention system that we have in place, and I in no way want to undermine any of that. In any fashion or form, and I want to make sure that that is considered as we look at as we potentially look at this over a period of time. We all come from that to a certain degree. We've lived with that, and it's been under attack. And so I want to make sure that this process that we're looking at does not undermine that any further than what it already has been.
May I say something on that regard?
Yeah.
I am a huge proponent of the caucus system. I've gone through that process twice in the last 3 years. And it is the grassroots basis, the fundamental basis of our democracy. One of the options could be to ask that the Republican Party go through a caucus process in this process, a special caucus process, whereby neighbors get together now and select delegates to select this new commissioner. I want to do nothing to undermine the caucus process, but I know inherently that there are hundreds of delegate positions unfilled that will be filled by party people without the consideration or the deliberation of neighborhood caucus attendees. And so if we're going to build the caucus process, let's have a caucus in 2021 to fill this vacancy.
Yeah, but this is going to be a central committee voting body, right? Not necessarily, the county delegates.
Under the law, it states the process is rests entirely with, in this case, the Republican Party to follow its process. That process can change on the morning of the election, if the delegates change it and elect to do so. That's one of the things that is so disconcerting about this, is that this law doesn't give power to the Republican Party to determine who the candidate is. This law gives power to the Republican Party to determine what the process to determine that candidate is.
They'd have to have the full body to change their bylaws. And if this election happened before that, they wouldn't have time to change bylaws. Anyway, I don't mind going through a deliberate process, and looking at it. And Commissioner, I don't have any idea what your thoughts are on this, but I would if it was me, I wouldn't mind tabling this, but with the understanding that with a 24-hour notification that it would be put back on, not necessarily straight to a Wednesday meeting. It could be a meeting earlier than that.
Absolutely.
And I would anticipate that your office would get to it quickly, because we want the seat to be filled as soon as possible, not
Absolutely.
Later.
Absolutely. You tell me how much time you need. If you're willing to
have
us look into
it. Work hard over the weekend, probably.
Sure. You want to do it on Monday?
Well, I'm just saying we leave it open for...
Yeah.
You have to have a 24-hour notice, and so that's...
Yeah, my initial thought is that currently this chair belongs to the Republican Party, because that's who the individual belonged to when he resigned. But the question that the attorney is bringing up is that what if we have a unaffiliated member resign, or someone who unaffiliated and then resigned... What happens in that process? And that's a valid one, because that's a possibility.
I would counter and simply say, I think I know what your heart is, Commissioner Sankovich, but I would not say for one moment this seat belongs to the Republican Party.
No,
I would say that this seat belongs to the people of the Utah County.
Yes. You are correct, but it is the Republican, the Republicans at large,
sure,
and others that allow this Republican to take his seat. And so, to me, it belongs to the Republican. Well, that's the wrong word, perhaps, but the first right of refusal belongs to the Republican Party on this case. I'm hearing what you're saying again about what if the individual were to unaffiliate and then resign afterwards. And so we would have a seat,
right,
that was previously held by a now unaffiliated person who maybe occupied it for a time and then resigned, and now it becomes an unaffiliated seat. How, yep, do we address that in the state law? So far, it appears that there is no remedy for that.
Right. And I would be fine, frankly. I mean, this is not an attempt on my part to allow people who only have money to get elected. This is an attempt on my part to maintain the integrity of the process. And there is nothing in this process, particularly what we've learned over the last year of the pandemic, that would prevent a process whereby virtual caucus meetings were held 2 weeks from now, in which delegates were elected, and a virtual convention held 3 or 4 weeks from now. My point is, these need to be delegates. If this is indeed the process, the central committee needs to be elected by delegates who have been elected by their neighborhoods, or if this, the delegates at large that are going to decide this, it need to be delegates who are elected by their neighborhoods, not people, not decisions being made by people who have an extraordinary say because they happen to be part of the party leadership.
And I'm thinking when Richard Nixon resigned, Gerald Ford was appointed, I think, as vice president during that party ticket. And so he was never elected at large. He was,
right,
and then he assumed the presidency because of the constitutional provisions.
Right.
In this case, they both happened to belong to the same party. But he assumed that role when Richard Nixon resigned. And I see where you're going with this, but I'm thinking that there's an enormous amount of complex effort to create a caucus that has been asleep for, well, asleep is the wrong way to put it, but not used for virtually 3 years. And many have perhaps gone other ways and no longer wish to serve or are serving some, but can't give the focus. It would take the party an extended amount of effort to reach out and get some responses back from the current members before they can decide where it needs to be filled and what does not. So I'm seeing a logistical issue there. And I'm seeing that if we were to delay this, this is local, not the same, but the national level, we've gone through an enormous amount of questions about the electoral integrity, and that did a major shakeup throughout the nation and globally. And so I see that affecting the county government and trying to do its work to make sure that the election transition happens properly. I see the residents within the county uncertain as to what's going on in the county government. So I'm concerned about that. So I'm thinking that I would rather, and if we were to give you another 7 days, we would be into the ninth day, because the eighth day would be about 10 o'clock Wednesday morning next. So we would be into the ninth day when we would actually meet again if we were to put this off a week. And I don't think there's enough time under the current statute to allow for that. Even though you may come back with something substantial, it would delay, and it wouldn't just affect this particular body, but it would affect the county government, the county itself, and the state itself in large respects. But I see the validity of what you're bringing up. My preference is that we go forward and do two things, that we go ahead and submit this acceptance of the resignation to the party chair and not delay it, and at the same time request that you investigate this, because this will be an issue. It will come up.
Well, once you submit the letter to the party chair, our job is over.
Well, the point that you bring up actually is valid, and so I would.
Right, but once the county has complied with its obligation under the law, we have no control whatsoever over what anyone else does because we've simply punched our ticket, and now it's their job.
Well, I was thinking that the commission could request the county attorney to investigate this and to improve the law in the coming weeks.
Well, that's what I'm asking you to allow me to do, and I'm asking you to give me just a few days to do it.
That's where I'm saying I feel exactly what you're saying, but I think it needs to be concurrent. We need to go forward with the process because we have, I don't know how many, I've heard as many as between 8 and 10 that want to get the process officially started, and this would delay it at least a week, perhaps longer, if we come back that there needs to be challenges to in the courts.
This need not delay anything, Commissioner, because they have, simply because they have 30 days to act doesn't mean they need to take 30 days to make a decision. If you give me until Monday to come up with a reasoned response to this, and you could sign the letter here, and with a motion to hold it until you'd heard from the county attorney's office and met with the county attorney's office, then you wouldn't even have to have another meeting. Nothing here has to delay any process. All I'm saying is once the process is followed and the letter sent to the Republican Party, then you as a commission and I as the county attorney have no standing whatsoever to challenge the issue.
I think we would have standing because of the point you brought up. We need to address this. It needs to be brought to closure.
Well, if we need to address it, then why wouldn't we address it during our allotted 10-day period?
Because I see a ripple effect. Socially, party-wise, and it would potentially delay it beyond even 40 days in the current statute.
All right, I think we understand each other.
You know, I could go with that option that we sign the letter and hold it till Monday, and if something, I think it's a pretty high hurdle. I don't know. I think it's really high, but anyway, I could go with signing the letter and then holding it till Monday, and if something come popping out that we're not seeing or whatever, and give you that chance to look at it, and then and if not, then we send it on.
Hey, you are the commissioner. I'm just your advisor.
Yes, Mr. Attorney. Yeah. But I'm thinking at the same time, we wouldn't need to sign the letter because I think it should be a public setting when we do that, except because the public will want to know what is the actual outcome and why.
Fair enough. And so we could table this this part of the meeting until mm-hmm. Monday at a certain time. We could do that too.
Would 4 o'clock Monday work for you?
I think it's available. Here every day. Yeah, Monday's fine. I don't think the world would fall apart if you did it on your regularly scheduled meeting on Wednesday. But Monday's fine.
I and it's kind of a spirit of some compromise with it. I think it at least gives both sides and deliberation and conversation are always good things. And
I agree.
I mean, my first thought is it's a super high bar.
Intention in raising the issue is the sanctity of the elected official and the election process. And I'm not speaking out against the Republican Party, nor am I speaking out against the caucus system. We haven't had a caucus in 3 years. And so, that's something that affects this, particularly when the law vests full authority in the party to determine the method by which the election is held.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do a 4 o'clock. I've got a board meeting, Board of Health meeting. But 3 o'clock works for me.
Yeah, I got a call at 2. It ends at 3, but I can get out of there early. So 3 o'clock
Monday. 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock Monday works.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney.
All right. So a motion then?
I'll make a motion that we continue item number three of the regular agenda, on today's regular agenda, March 18th.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you bet.
I didn't really plan on saying anything or speaking. I was coming just really to listen. Can I take this off while I speak?
Sure.
John St. Clair, Pleasant Grove. And a couple of thoughts, I guess, came to mind. One, the law is the law. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like we should be circumventing the law or trying to change the law. We just have to go with what the law is at the present time, whether we like it or not. Then we can change the law after the fact. The other point I just wanted to make is that, and I don't know if it's different or not, so you have to educate me on that, but in Senate District 14, they recently had a senator who resigned. And even though they hadn't had a caucus in 3 years and that kind of history, the Republican Party went through a process where the delegates of that district voted for the new senator, who is, I think his name is Kennedy. So I know that's a much smaller scale than all of Utah County, but it seems like if that process works for the party, that's the process they probably would use, and that process seems like it works. So why would we change it, try and modify it here last minute? And I would think the other point is, I think you want to fill this seat as quickly and efficiently as you can, just because a commission with two members is a tough way to go. I mean, you at least need three, so you have a divide, can cast a vote if you have a tie or whatever. So those are my thoughts. I just was, again, listening in, just wanted to say a few words. It just seems like you follow the process you have and you keep moving forward as opposed to trying to study, and delay. And I think you need to fill that seat as quickly as you can.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, John.
It's good to see you. It's hard to recognize you without the mask on. Or with the mask on. With the mask on, yeah.
Steve White, I'm the voting precinct chair of Utah County, Provo Canyon 1, and sit on the County Central Committee. And the inference from the county attorney is that somehow Stewart Pay and Company would do something skullduggerous. And anybody here who knows, Governor Herbert ascended to the county commission in the same way, by a seat being vacated and by him being selected after going through a central committee meeting. And so I don't have any problem with proceeding immediately, because I see people of goodwill and good character in the Republican Party leadership. Thank you. Oh, restate my conflict of interest. I will be one of those 8 to 10 people.
Commissioners, I'm duty bound to stand and say I have intended no inference of skullduggery on anyone's part. This is about process. And I just want the record to be clear. I believe that Stewart Pay is a man of incredible integrity and honor. I love the caucus system. I've been through it twice in the last 3 years. I believe that the Central Committee are well-intentioned and good, honorable people. This has nothing to do with anyone's integrity. This has only to do with process.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, a motion. Unless there's more conversation.
Thinking about the current law, if we wait till Monday and find the issues that the attorney brought up, what that might require afterwards, I don't know what that end would be. What are your thoughts as to going forward with it today, after all? Because as everyone has said, the attorney, the other witnesses, that the party is full of individuals who are high caliber individuals and wouldn't try to usurp the process. Should we wait till Monday?
Well, and again, I'm not saying there's anything going on, and I've said that the bar is probably really super high, and on that, and what I don't know, I don't know, and if our county attorney thinks that maybe we should at least look at it and investigate it, and we have time and options. For me, it's pretty hard to say, let's just jump past that without not knowing what we don't know. And again, I would suspect that on Monday that the letter is probably going to be sent, because I just don't know how we get past, you know, the high bar that I think would need to be there to say, wait a second, this process has got something, and I don't even know what that is. That something is, and so I don't necessarily have any heartburn with being deliberate and a little bit slower on it, just to make sure that we have had opportunity to say, you know, where we're at, and that we're going in a direction. And again, like I said, I would think at this point in time that Monday that letter is going to be sent, because I just don't think that bar is going to be able to be met. But if somebody says, let's take a look at it, why not? Why not just give that opportunity? There is time in there to do so.
Yeah, that gives us 4 days to reply. Yeah, so
that's why I was not comfortable going all the way to the Wednesday. You got a weekend, yeah, basically tomorrow and a weekend to look at it. And
Wednesday would give us a day and a half to respond. So.
Yeah.
Then I make a motion that we go ahead and delay or continue this until Monday at 4 o'clock.
At
3 o'clock, excuse me, 3 o'clock. That'd be March, what day is that?
March
22nd.
22nd.
So 3 o'clock, March 22nd here to continue item number 3.
And I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. I do not think, do we have to send out another public notice since that's been continued, or what's the legal process with that?
I think we've got to send out public notice. Or, yeah,
I think that's fair.
Notice for that meeting.
Yeah.
Probably
okay,
don't
so,
want to adjourn this meeting. I guess you'll continue this meeting until Monday.
Yeah.
22nd at 3 o'clock.
So, Alice, so you'll make sure and send out that public notice, and you can send it out today or tomorrow. Doesn't have to wait till Sunday. And then we will not adjourn this meeting. We'll just continue this meeting. Okay, with that,
make a motion to adjourn.
Well, we don't.
Oh,
we
that's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
We won't adjourn. Okay. We had public comment already. Is there any other general public comment? Seeing none?
Okay.
We will see you on Monday.
Up to with some kind of thematic music.
Right. Okay.
Is he Zoom? Is Dave zooming in?
Okay. Okay. So who do we have on? Do we have anybody on Zoom?
Adam Beck, Andrea Allen, there's about 8 people.
So Adam Beck, can you hear us on Zoom?
Yes, I can hear you.
Fantastic. Thank you. We always have to have a mic check. Make sure everyone can hear. All right. Welcome, everybody, this afternoon to our special public meeting, Board of County Commissioners. We have Commissioner Sakovich and Commissioner Lee here. And all rules will be, the rule will be suspended so that I can second motions. We have only one item on the agenda. And I thought, since there's only one item on the agenda, maybe we could have general public comment now and then move to that regular item where we can have continued comment. Yes?
I don't think our YouTube's live yet.
Okay, we'll wait.
So for those on the line, it looks like we're trying to get our YouTube streaming going. So if you could just hang on 1 second. That's my notification I should turn off my cell phone, or at least All right, great. Thanks. For those that are on YouTube, welcome. And for those that are on Zoom, welcome. We're going to start our agenda. We have one item on our regular agenda. Plus, we also have public comment. Typically, what we do on public comment, if it's something other than our regular agenda item, outside of that, you can speak. Is there anybody that has public comment that is general in nature, not specific to the one item that we have? Because we'll address that when it comes up. Any on the Zoom call? Okay. So we'll close that down on the way of public comment then, and we'll go into our regular agenda item, which is to approve and sign a letter giving notice to the Utah County Republican Party liaison of a vacancy for seat A, and we will open that up now for some comment. Mr. Levitt, and any others, if you'd like to, you can always, come up, or since there's not a lot in here, if you'd like to just jump up afterwards, you can too.
Thank you, commissioners. As you will recall, last week we were here, and I asked you to postpone your sending the notification to the state party or to the county party, and I did so so that I could fulfill my obligation under Utah law. And if I can speak to those that are listening, Utah law, specifically 17-18A-603, vests in me as the county attorney the obligation to call to the attention of the state legislature or the county commission any defect in the operation of law, and gives me the responsibility of suggesting and assisting in presenting an amendment to changing, to correct the defect. That was the spirit in which I stood before you last week to say, please give me 2 or 3 days to look at this and to come back with my conclusions as to where we are with regard to this law. As you know, I wear many hats as a county attorney, and this experience has only amplified that belief for me. Number one, I am your civil legal advisor, tasked with giving you advice for how to run the county. That was also why I was standing in the context in which I asked you last week to hold off so that I could make a recommendation as to whether there should be any effort on the part of the county to seek a declaratory judgment or anything like that. And so I'm speaking right now as your civil advisor. And my advice to you as the civil advisor to the county commission is to say that your statutory duty is to notify the political party of the person who is vacating the seat. You're to do that within 10 days of the vacancy. And my legal advice is that you do that, which of course is what your intent was. My also will say to you, as the civil lawyer to the county that I don't see any reason to seek any kind of declaratory assistance through the court in how to interpret this statute. As far as what you're, as far as asking a court on the part of the county to do that, I think that you should close, you should send the notification and close the matter as far as the county is concerned. My job also as the county attorney is to represent the state of Utah as the elected prosecutor. And that is a power that is separate and distinct from my duty to be the civil advisor to the county commission. And the problem that that I expressed last week, and maybe I inartfully combined both of those duties into one discussion, so that it wasn't real clear for people that I was operating both as a county attorney, as a civil advisor, but also as the elected prosecutor. But speaking now in my role as the elected prosecutor, the law requires that when there's a vacancy, that the party to whom to which the former the former commissioner belonged. Now I'm getting text notifications. That they appoint a successor according to their rules, according to their bylaws and their constitution. And failure to do so in accordance with their bylaws and constitution, quite literally constitutes a Class B misdemeanor to potentially to the party or anybody else who participated. And so as I waded through that, it caused me a fair amount of angst on a lot of levels. The first is I also stand as a member of that party. I am a member of the Republican Party. Indeed, I am a member of the Central Committee of the Republican Party. And so, you know, I face a bit of a conflict of interest, frankly, as to whether the party to which I belong and the body to which I belong in voting for a replacement, how do I exercise that with my duty as the public prosecutor if, in fact, the Republican Party does not follow its bylaws and constitution?
You could always find yourself, right?
I could find myself, that's right. I've looked at this from a lot of different angles. I've looked at this through the perspective of the deputies in my office who have also spent a considerable amount of time with this. One of the issues is that you have the state legislature delegating authority to the county party to decide what its bylaws and constitutions are. And so the requirements of the law actually change not by the legislature but by the party, which has concerns as far as the constitutionality of it. Let me just sum everything up instead of rambling on. Here's what I believe. I think that it's the bylaws and the constitution of the Republican Party state quite clearly that the Central Committee is the electing body to find the replacement. That's without question whatsoever. What my concern was the fact that members of that Central Committee have not been elected at the normal caucus meetings, which typically take place in March of the odd year, the even year, 2020. Those caucus meetings did not occur because we were in the middle of a pandemic, and they have never occurred since. And so I think that it's safe to say that this election that will be held by the Central Committee will take place without caucus meetings occurring. And there will be some that will allege, maybe correctly, that the party has not followed its bylaws and constitution in so doing. But we're finding ourselves in a situation, as I reflect back on this last year, There's lots of firsts in American history here. For the first time in American history, Supreme Courts across our land have suspended jury trials. A basic fundamental constitutional right to which Americans in Utah County only became able to have a jury trial this last week when Utah County held its first jury trial in over a year. That decision was made by well-meaning, thoughtful people doing their very best in difficult circumstances. I was faced with the obligation of accusing people of crimes, several thousand people of crimes over the course of the last year, which I understood when I charged them that they would not have a right to a speedy trial. And as I've grappled with what my own duty is in wading through that, I have proceeded nevertheless with caution, using my best judgment, understanding that this is an unusual, in fact, an unparalleled time. And so I believe that the same deference that we've given to the court system, the same deference that I expect for myself and how I've conducted my duties, is what we should be looking at in a situation like this with the members of the Republican Party. That despite the fact that they may not have been able to follow their bylaws or constitution to the letter, these are people who are doing their best job in difficult circumstances, and while they may technically open themselves up for prosecution under the circumstances, it's not something that I'm going to pursue. Not only because I don't see any criminal intent on the part of people to mess with the law, but also I understand that people are just trying to do their very best, and I applaud them for that. Nevertheless, it is incumbent upon us to do a couple of things. Number one, that we return our society to normal as quickly as possible, including holding caucus meetings, so that this treasure that we have in Utah of a caucus convention system is not lost in the name of a pandemic. Number two, it's incumbent upon me as the county attorney to follow my statutory duty and say and to advise you, and in so doing, I'll send a letter also to the state legislature that says this law has problems. It would be a much different thing if the law said, directed the party to elect a replacement by a majority vote of its governing body or its central committee or something like that, so that the party didn't have the discretion to set its own rules, but simply say, have your central committee do it. That would cure any questions of constitutionality. The other thing, though, that we need to recognize that there likely will be a time in Utah when an unaffiliated candidate is elected to a position. And I will give you this hypothetical. If Mr. Ainge had resigned his party membership on a Monday, the Monday before he resigned, and if he had then resigned his position on the Wednesday, as he did, and he did so as an unaffiliated candidate, there would be no provision in the law to select his replacement. Because the law requires that the replacement be selected by the political party to which you belong. And that's something that does need to be changed so that we don't have any impression whatsoever that we as a government have a body of laws that favor those who wish to seek the ballot or be on the ballot as part of a political party or not. So that was a long way of saying send your notice. But I appreciate you allowing me the time to give you my rationale. Any questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, a process that we can follow is that we'll open it up for further discussion here in the room and also on Zoom if there's any comments to that. And then after we open that up and give the public an opportunity to comment, then we'll pull it back up here for the commissioners to discuss and move. So the public comment period now is now. Any in the room? Seeing none, is there any Alice on
Zoom? Okay, so there's none, there's no comment on this issue. So we'll bring it back up here now for the for us two to discuss and work through. And of course, this is to approve a letter. If it's all right, Commissioner, unless you'd like to, I'd like to start with a statement.
Yes.
Okay. First off, you know, I recognize and I think it's interesting the questions that have been brought forward regarding the process. It's they're as you're working them through your mind and trying to find a process, I think that there's opportunities for us always to look at that. And I applaud at least us having the opportunity to look at that and discuss and maybe do something into the future. But for today, as Mr. Levitt mentioned, it's our responsibility to kind of move forward. As and this last weekend, I too have been, you know, reaching out to friends and colleagues and asking questions about our part, the party and our responsibilities and wearing two different hats. I also wear two different hats. One of them is a county commissioner hat. The other one is in the central committee as an officer there. And so I'm trying to separate those two hats and make sure that I do it in a judicious way that makes sense. This is what I found as I was looking down through them and down through this process. One, I couldn't find, and others couldn't find, any limitations specifically set to the delegates, in that there was you know limitations on their service. Besides the implied that there is going to be elections every even year. That's the only limitation that was really found. Other than that, there really wasn't limitations. And the state party is supposed to hold its caucuses every numbered year. However, because of the state public health order, it prevented us from holding those caucus meetings and realizing that it's the state's responsibility to call for a caucus. It is a caucus meetings. It's not the county's responsibility to do so. It's the state's responsibility to do that. According to the state and federal laws and regulations, the state and federal laws and regulations hold a higher order or a higher rank than our county bylaw or the county Republican bylaws, you know, according to Robert's Rules of Order. And so as a party, we are bound to follow regulations and federal or state laws. And so because there was an emergency declared and because there was regulations and laws that were put into place and orders that were put into place, the party itself was bound to follow those. And because there's no expiration date on the delegates' term, the delegates elected in 2018 are still the sitting delegates with the, you know, some exceptions. There's exceptions of those delegates that are normally replaced, you know, through a process that the respective states and counties have. If somebody moves, there's always a process for that to take place. According to the state party's documents, even though the health order changed a couple of weeks ago, they still can't hold a caucus meeting until 2022 because our bylaws state that it's every even year. So for us to hold the caucus meeting this year would be going against our own bylaws. And so that process of even holding that. So it puts us in conflict in many multiple different areas where it seems like we possibly, you know, well, why don't we just hold a caucus meeting? We're not underneath the same because the health order has changed a little bit. We'll be going against our own bylaws already to do something of that nature. So for me as a county commissioner, I think the responsibility that we have is pretty simple. It's plain. And that is to follow the law that we have and send a notice within that 10 days, that 10-day period of time, you know, and that takes that one hat that we wear as commissioners, and that is to follow the law, and the law is to send that notice, you know, to the Republican Party in this case. And so for me, I intend to vote accordingly and to do that. Because I think it's important for us to, you know, go through the process and follow the responsibility that I have sitting up here as a county commissioner in regards to a vacancy. Commissioner?
Yeah, I think it was March or April last year when our state party chair, I'm a member of the State Central Committee, now a County Central Committee, as well as a commissioner, so I have multiple hats also. But the state party chair mentioned last year that given in the bylaws there was no end date specified for delegates, that after legal advice, they would just simply continue everyone in their current capacities. Given yes, some will move, some will be unable to continue to serve. That was noted, but basically to continue on those who were elected in 2018. And in this current situation, the commission has had Commissioner Ainge here by phone for perhaps once or twice a week for meetings that were both administrative as well as during this particular session here, these kinds of sessions. And he had mentioned that because of the conflict he was facing, he was unable to completely serve as fully as he would like to. And that would actually begin when he began his training on February 28th. So we're about close to a month now. And so for me, I've been thinking what is important for the county, Utah County, and it's best if we have three individuals here to allow some more depth of insights on various topics that come before us. And so we have to face the fact as they exist in our hands now. And what to me is also important in all of this is the ending of public suspense. There is a lot of this type of thing on the national level, and the ripples are still there. And members of residents of Utah County are wanting us to be back as a county commission from the few that I've spoken to in the last few days as well. And they would like us to move forward. The suspense the public has had might be magnified on our actions. And to alleviate that, I'd like to make sure that we address this vacancy as soon as possible. Candidates have begun their campaigns. They have started, I think, the day of the announcement on Facebook, texts that I've seen, emails. I know of a few that have published their names. A few others have not. But there's somewhere between 6 and 10 people that are very keenly interested in this role and have begun to reach out for funding, for advertisements, to reach out to connections for extending their reach for to compete with this position. And so everything is in motion, and then essentially it's just a matter for the commission to do its part at this time. And so in order for that, and I guess I should add one other thing, that if it's held any later than, if it's held, say, during a county convention, which is the last Saturday of April, then if they, that will add about another couple of hours to their convention. Again, I've served in the State Central Committee and been part of other conventions, and that would add a great amount of time to their meeting. So with that stated, given the need for free seats in Utah County and to end the suspension for the public, because I think what affects Utah County affects the rest of Utah in many, many respects, I'd like to summarize by making a motion that we approve and sign a letter giving notice to the Republican Party of the Utah County as of this date today.
Okay. And I fully agree that we need to give notice. The time, though, I disagree with in sending it right away. And I'd like to, so let's see. I'm not going to give that second, so the motion currently fails for lack of second. But I would like to have some further discussion.
Please, yeah.
And I've reached out to the party, and I'm assuming you have as well, yeah, asking kind of their preference, mm-hmm, for it. Their leadership has notified me and let me know that they would actually prefer to receive the notification on a Thursday or Friday of this week, say it was Thursday. That's their preference. I think that as party leadership, when they mentioned that to me, you know, that's of note to me that they would prefer it that way. I did ask them some questions because I had some questions about that. I asked them about the increased number because it does bring a certain amount of excitement to a meeting, and they don't necessarily see that from my conversations as a negative. They said that they would that will bring more attention, and maybe those then when we have the convention on Saturday, there'll be more people there to be a part of the process. I then was concerned also about the numbers of people. We still have rules and regulations that are in place. Now, this will be after the April 10th deadline. I was concerned, though, about the number of people there. And according to, and I felt comfortable in what they were saying and how they were looking at possibly mitigating some of the health concerns. And how they would work through the process to allow for separation and I'm not going to, because it was a lot of it's still speculation. So they kind of speculated on me on what they were going to do, but I felt comfortable that they would take the necessary precautions into place so that a convention could happen. For me, I fundamentally believe in the caucus, the convention system. I've worked in it, seen it, been elected through it, and we have not had that for a year now. And I think that's a detriment. It's a detriment. We see that as a problem. One of the reasons why I like the convention system and going to a formal place is because when I'm vetting candidates, I want to see them eye to eye. I want to be able to ask the questions. I realize that there's going to be some other opportunities possibly for people to go and see them at different venues. But there's something about a convention, you know, through this process of caucus to convention system that just allows for discussion. And it allows for being able to hear other discussions with candidates. And I personally like that. And that's one of the areas where I see when party leadership is asking us for for the date, and they're trying to adhere to possible all scenarios when it comes to health regulations, and in some cases they see it as a positive for individuals to come for the second part, which is the organizing part. With the delegates as well, and they see that as a possible benefit. I would prefer that we go to the next Thursday in sending that letter to give that opportunity for that. And so I would like to make a motion that we do send this letter, sign and send this letter. This next Thursday, I can't remember what the date is, this Thursday, which would be electronic on an email, and then also would send it in paper form.
24th?
Be 25th.
25th. For the 25th of this month. That's my motion.
I see those reasons and had thought about that. And my concern is the delay is imperative for the county commission to move forward. And we are all, at least we are both members of that same party, so we have an affinity for that group and what their functions are and what they face and issues they have to address. Considering the topics that are coming up, it would be best if we had a third member sooner than the 20 after the elect. Well, we wouldn't see that member until, let's see, if it's Saturday the 28th, we wouldn't see that person until the earliest the 30th after inauguration of April. And there's a lot of issues I would like to pass by them in this setting, potentially where we might go in the future on an informal basis that I see coming. And that's been the driving force of me personally. And again, I see that the candidates have been reaching out to a number of people just in the last few days since the announcement. I'd like to make an alternate motion that we...
is there a second to that motion, or are you making an alternate motion?
Please go ahead and continue the discussion if you have another item on that.
It might be best if you're not going to second that motion then?
No.
Okay. So that fails for lack of second.
Probably need three commissioners.
Yeah, this just shows the point, right? And I really do, applaud that. So maybe I could make a different motion, and this motion would be that we approve of signing the letter. Simple. I think we can agree on that. We approve of signing the letter. And I'll look to Dave for comment on this. Before I make the motion, let me ask Dave, and then I'll go back to the motion. Dave, if we approve of signing the letter, then that is our legislative action. When we send it, can that be an administrative decision?
Well, it still is a commission decision.
Yes, it would take consensus from the two of us.
So it really doesn't, you don't need to differentiate between, it's the same body that takes both actions, so it really doesn't make any difference whether you construe it as one or the other.
So if there's...
Because it's a commission action.
The difference is that we have two different dates in mind, right, which you obviously right. see. And so if we say that we agree that we want to sign the letter, but then... And then we need to agree. Can we agree outside of this meeting on when we send that letter?
Well, that should be a commission decision yeah. made in a commission
okay.
meeting.
Yeah, okay.
I see them both as the same legislative action.
Okay.
But another option would be to not take action today and to continue the matter until our Wednesday meeting. That would be another option.
Right.
If you don't have
that's the default option. If you can't get agreement, then that just becomes the option.
Right.
Right.
As long as you put it on that agenda.
Right.
So there's a couple options as I've researched this. There's the option that we come to an agreement and send it, and send the letter at whatever date, or we don't come to an agreement. And then after the 10 days is over with, the party goes forward as if we sent the letter. Those are the two options. There's probably three options in the way of dates and so forth. But
the party has the option of going forward. If they don't hear anything in 10 days, then they have to act within 40 days.
Yeah, according right. to law, I believe we're required to notice at least 10 days. So 10 days, I think, is Saturday. We don't want to wait till then, that's for certain.
Friday.
And so we're still required to do something in order to give them notice.
No, we're not. I mean, if we don't give notice, then as I read down through it, it says that the party can act within 40 days of the notice of vacancy. And so that 40 days encapsulates the 10 days and the 30 days that they have. And so if we don't make any action or we don't come to any conclusion, the party will proceed after 10 days as if we gave them some notice, correct? Yes, I'm seeing heads shaking on it.
What that assumes is that the commission didn't do its duty.
Right.
I mean,
right.
No, and
we failed. We failed to do our duty.
The duty on you, on the commission to act within 10 days.
Right.
Yeah, and we must do that within 10 days. It's not, we would fail in our duty if we did not.
And I hope that we don't get there. I don't want to see that as an option.
No, that's
I don't want to see that as an option.
It'd be a class B misdemeanor.
It'd be a class B misdemeanor.
In all seriousness.
Yeah, and so I don't see that. I'm just trying to see what the options are. Those are the options that they could go with it. I hope that that wouldn't be the case.
Then with that, those options that have been shared by our civil and county attorney, I withdraw my motion. What was your original motion?
My motion was to sign the letter and to send the letter, I forgot the date already, Thursday, the 25th.
I just like signing and then waiting days to send it. We should sign it and send it the same day.
And you know what? If that's, I'll take that as a friendly motion. I will sign it on Thursday and send it on Thursday electronically and through the mail.
I will second the motion that we sign the letter, but perhaps we should do it in public settings, so perhaps Wednesday, and send it the following day.
Yeah, that would be fine too. So we'd sign it on Wednesday?
Yeah, which is a normal commission meeting. Make that an agenda item.
So you want me to sign it in commission meeting? I guess I could do that if you wanted that. And then send it on, and then the notice would be sent on Thursday. Any problems with that, Dave?
I mean, the letter should be dated, the date that you want it.
The letter will be dated for the 25th.
So
right.
I would suggest you sign the letter on the 25th and mail it the same day.
Yeah, it should be signed and posted the same day, yes.
Okay.
And in the public, so.
Okay, so that's
or can we just do that, agree to do it now so it's publicly noticed that that's what we're going to do and then sign it on Thursday the 25th?
So that's what we agree to today. Yeah, I think that's fine.
By passing this motion, you've taken that action today.
Okay.
It's authorized today, and that is the public notice that everyone will know that that's the decision you have made.
And then we can sign and then send it as an administrative action on Thursday.
Right. The commission chair will just sign it on Thursday.
Okay.
So that's the motion, and that's the second?
That's the second.
Okay. You want clarification? So, Dave, why don't you go ahead and tell us get it straight, and we'll make sure we agree to it.
So my understanding of the motion is that you are authorizing the commission chair to sign the notice as set forth in the agenda for today's meeting. That notice will be dated and mailed on March 25th of this year.
March 25th, Thursday, yes.
Okay, you good, Alice? Okay. So with that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. All right. Final motion.
Motion that we adjourn.
Second, all in favor. Well, I guess we're adjourned since there's only two of us and we both agree to it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the meeting. We'll move to the next meeting.